welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church, and with me as always is Pastor Tim Robbins, my dad.
How you doing?
And my assistant Levi.
How's it going?
So, as you guys well know, we didn't get a podcast up last week. If you guys read my message, I do apologize again. It was just a crazy
week. It was a bit hectic last week with graduation, kindergarten graduation, high school graduation. So,
and that's no way to talk about Angie, Dad.
She's about the same height. It's pretty bad whenever your kindergartner who's graduating and your senior in high school are pretty much about the same height. But anyway, but yeah, she graduated. That was really neat to see. She came here. They moved here. I think she was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And
was she sixth? I thought she was fifth.
Sixth grade, and I think Danny was in fourth. And no. Danny would have been in third, I think, at the time period. And
real quick, how does it feel to have your youngest son being a senior in high school this year?
I was having a great day until you said that. So, and
yeah, well, see, I understand that you technically are a first-year senior.
You might be here on the five-year plan, so.
Probably. I've seen his grade transcript, so.
Yeah, no kidding. I just told you back on purpose, saying, oops, you didn't complete a subject. And anyway. Yeah. And but nevertheless, though, it's pretty, it's exciting and very kind of, I don't know, melancholy.
Yeah, but on the same hand, Daddy, you got to remember, you still got three kids who live at home.
I know, but there's a really good chance that some of those might be getting married, moving out shortly, and it might be, it's going to be really lonely if y'all move away and y'all move out. So I'm going to be, I figure five kids, five nights. Each night I could go to each kid's house or they could come over.
It's kind of a round robin tournament or something.
Yeah, exactly. Monday night here, Tuesday night there. And
you know, Dad, I have hardwood floors. If you want to straighten your back out, there you go.
Yeah, okay. And not really sure what all that meant, but.
You're sleeping on the floor.
Oh, okay. I just meant to come over visit.
Maybe Evan will let you sleep in his bed. I don't know. Do you like Paw Patrol?
Paw Patrol. Hey, listen. At this point, I don't care anymore. So my dad used to listen to a Smurf radio. So, yeah, that's a funny story behind that. He worked at the prison, and he worked in the tower for a little while, and you could never have any kind of music or anything like that because you had to be 100% alert all the time.
Yeah, nothing to distract or distort.
But sitting in the tower is so boring because you just sit there by yourself for literally 8 hours. You can't come out. They bring you your meals and everything. And you just sit there by yourself. And so
there is a bucket on a rope.
Yeah. And, anyway, and no, somebody walks up the door and hands it to you. But anyway, basically, but he get really bored. So my dad wore these big cowboy boots, and my sister had this little Smurf bike radio she got for Christmas. And you'd clip it to your bike and listen to it. So what he did is he put it in his boot, and he'd take it to work with him. And he'd get to work, he'd pull it out and listen to it. And so one time he got caught. And he didn't get in any trouble because it was a Smurf radio.
No. It's hard to reprimand somebody when you're laughing.
Yeah. It was one of those things. Had it been a regular radio, it probably would have gotten reprimanded. But because it's a Smurf radio, it was a bigger punishment by everybody finding out he had a Smurf radio.
Was that Doc Smurf or was that Smurfette?
Who wasn't Smurfette, to be honest with you? But I don't know. Anyway. But nevertheless, though, I'm glad to be back to doing the podcast, though.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's nice to be able to. I had a lot of family come in town. My wife's family, all of her family came in town because her sister was graduating high school. So it was really crazy between that and Mother's Day. But it's good to be back.
Yeah, graduation, Mother's Day. You had family in town. You're building a deck. And Levi becomes a senior, so he's our only one we have left in school, and he's a senior, we decide he can't get married till he's 40, and
that's if he can find a man who's willing to agree to marry him.
You know what?
That's what I thought.
I have nothing to follow up with that. I was hoping you would say something.
Yeah, we know that you're gay. It's fine.
Let's get spiritual now, fellas. Okay.
You know, though, funny you bring up the deck. I was thinking this summer we should take a break from the around the table discussion and do around the fire discussions instead. Go out to the deck and enjoy the atmosphere outside a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. Once the weather gets a little warmer. It was a beautiful day yesterday, but it was really cold today. Yeah, so.
Sunny, 85 degrees, beautiful days, 50 degrees, and cold, rainy.
Rainy, yeah. And for to clarify, for those who really don't know, Levi is not gay. He was just, it was just simply a joke here.
I don't know.
Excuse me. So
which son did dad call his gay son growing up, or was that you, Tyler, or?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
And again, that's another story.
But that'll be a story for another time.
Yeah, it was all in a joke. And
35 minutes in, and I got some questions I want to ask you today.
I had a preacher friend of mine who was very...
okay.
It was very, very... His message is centered around a lot against homosexuality, and he came to visit. And I introduced my children, and I said, Tyler, I said, here's Dustin, he's our oldest. And I said, this is Tyler. He's my gay son, just to see how the guy would respond.
That's just because I'm a good dresser. Come on.
He didn't think it was as funny as everybody else seemed to thought it was funny, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But anyway, we don't attack gay people. Listen, we love people regardless who they are, and we may not agree with the lifestyle, may not agree with something, but doesn't mean we still don't love people. And we're on people's side. We're not on the side of sin or doing wrong, but we're on the side of people trying to find Jesus. And
absolutely.
And so
we love people. We may not agree, but we just love people.
Yeah, we do, and that's really what it's about. And that's the reason why we have podcasts here.
Yeah.
I mean, how can we help people if we just adamantly oppose them and everything they do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we try not to judge.
Well, it's just the way the Lord was. I mean, he went to the house of sinners. He hung out with Zacchaeus. He, you know, Mary Magdalene was a pretty... She had seven devils, the Bible says. And so, you know, it's just a lot of things about people's lives and stuff. The Lord just seemed to just take them right in. And I think that's the way Christians should be. I mean,
absolutely.
If I was to judge you, the Bible says, who can mark iniquity? Or who?
If
God marked iniquity, who could stand?
There we go. I couldn't get it either.
But there in Psalms. So if God marked iniquity, who could stand? We'd all be hiding our faces. We'd all be scared to death. We'd all be embarrassed, and every one of us, me, you, and everybody. And so it's not about that. We tease about it, but it's just like making redneck jokes or southern jokes or something like that. It's just all in fun and that, but we're not against people. So, but let's get to our subject at hand, Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been spending 7 minutes just goofing off now. But anyway, I hope you guys didn't mind that too much. Just, we try to keep it light, keep it fun. But I had a couple questions I want to ask today. As you guys know, anybody who knows me or if you guys have listened to a lot of the podcast so far, talk a little bit about my kids basically every episode or podcast, whatever you want to call them. But I've talked about my kids before. I brought them up. I've got a little girl, she's a couple months old, and I've got a boy who's 2 years old. One of the things, they are my dad's grandkids, obviously, and he spoils the pants off of them, I'm telling you. You know what he did tonight? I know, once again, we need to get on topic here, but he brought my son a stuffed alligator that was 2/3 of my dad's height tonight, and a soda.
Well, that ain't saying much, because I'm not that tall either, so.
Yeah, but still. But. You know what I got when I was a kid? Kicked outside.
Yeah, Dad, aren't you the shortest member of the family, or...?
No, I'm taller than Lauren, and I'm taller than your mother, so...
Yeah, let's get the measuring stick out.
Okay, never mind. It's really close.
Okay, let's stay spiritual, Dad, don't get mad. Dad, put down the gun.
Okay, I'm fixing to have a mic drop here. So.
But anyway, you know, about my kids, one thing that I really worry about is I try to raise my kids to bring glory to God. I try to raise them in church. I try to raise them to be a part of a Christian home and a Christian family. And I try to do what's right. I pray for them every morning. But sometimes I just don't know if I'm really doing a good enough job. What are some areas that I should really be worried about and watching?
Well, I don't know about worried about and watching, but...
maybe guarded against would be the proper term. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty broad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, need to be of concerns to you and things you need to, you know, keep an eye on and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as protection... The key, the Bible says God's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day, okay?
Yeah.
And the key for me in my life has always been the same issue that I battle regularly, and that's learning to give my children to God. You know, and the Lord has reproved me and rebuked me on this. I mean, there's a verse in Genesis 44, verse 30, where... Joseph has been sold into slavery, obviously, or sold into slavery, and then from there, you know, of course, he becomes secondhand to Pharaoh out in Egypt. And
yeah, the way it worked
and,
out, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a thought there that I often bring up at funerals, and that's this, is Jacob thought Joseph was dead, but truthfully, he was alive and reigning with the country, with the king in another country. And sometimes people that are born again, when we think that when they die that they're dead, but really they're alive and reigning with the king in another country. Mm-hmm. That king is the Lord Jesus. But anyway, and so then that really sent Jacob on a downward spiral. And I sympathize with parents that have lost children or even have to face that kind of challenge with an illness or something.
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, it's just, it's heart-wrenching, it's gut-wrenching. And but anyway, though, through that process, I mean, Jacob, he's become very bitter. The Bible says he refused to be comforted, and he just become very bitter. And now his life is really kind of consumed around the next baby of the family, and that, of course, is the very youngest, the younger brother of Joseph. And so now, through that process, Joseph finds out he's got a little brother, and he tells his brothers, you know, they don't know it's him, but he wants to meet that boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they plead with him, going, you know, Joseph, you don't understand. Our dad won't let him go. And he said that, matter of fact, when they get back, they said, well, listen, Dad, we tried to tell him. And in Genesis 44:30, I believe it's Simeon said to him, he said, listen, we told him that your life was bound up in the lad's life. And that's a verse God really always gets me under conviction, because I find myself, my life tends to wrap up in the life of my children. And that children become an idol to parents many times. And
oh yeah, absolutely. And, definitely see that.
It's one of those things that it really is hard as a dad or as a mom to really learn to give your children to the Lord. And it's easy for me to preach that, but it's not easy for me to live that. And the old saying, easy preaching, hard living. And but what you have to do is you have to learn to give ownership of your children to God. Years ago, your mom and I would go out to North Carolina every year go out to Charlotte and go out to the races and go to, you know, NASCAR race. And mm-hmm. and we'd always go on the Saturday night race there. We wouldn't go on the Sunday races. We didn't want to miss church, but we would go out there for the All-Star race, and which is on Friday night for the truck race and Saturday night for the race, and then we could go to church on Sunday. And I had a friend of mine, pastor just outside of Charlotte and Rock Hill, about 20 miles away. And anyway, and so we'd go out there and we'd visit with him, have a good time and that kind of thing, and go out to the race and stuff. But every time we'd start to go take that trip, I would get real nervous and I'd get real scared, because I'd worry about your children. Mm-hmm. And now my mom or somebody would come up and stay with you guys, and, you know, I mean, who better could you trust to watch your babies than my mom, you know? And she, I mean, she's you know, she's just on top of things. Yeah. And at least back in the day, she was
really
know,
conscious.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and she was. It was always the children first, and never her, you know. But I would just get, I would wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with it. And I mean, and many times driving out there, I'd just be ate up with fear and torment, worrying about you guys while I was gone. And I kept telling the Lord, you know, every time I'd have to pray, and I would wrestle through this thing for weeks before I finally come to a place where I could make the trip and be okay. All right, you know, I'm going to get through this thing. And then, you know, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to really just, this isn't going to be an issue for me anymore. And the Lord said, you just need to give your ownership of your children to me. And I said, well, Lord, if I do that, I'm afraid you'll take them away. And God's like, you know, I'm able to keep that which you've committed. I want to use your children, so I gave them to you. I want to use them. And I want to use them, take them away, but I want to use them. And the Lord really spoke to my heart. And from that day forward, every time I make a trip, not once did I ever worry about being away. And not once was I ever scared. Matter of fact, I looked forward to the trips. So it's just about yielding up ownership of God. I think that's where you got to start.
You always say having the hearts of your children is super important. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important?
Oh, that's a great question. And again, it's, to me, children, whatever has the heart of a child, they'll imitate. Okay, so whatever it is that has your heart, you'll imitate that. You know, if you get your heart really goes out to maybe videos you've been watching or something like that, you'll start imitating that. So whatever has your heart, well, you'll start to imitate, and you'll start to become like, you'll start to follow, you'll start to in essence, kind of worship, and not worship in a bad way every time, but I mean, like, you know, in essence, it's really kind of, and so
what happens? The old monkey see, monkey do thing.
Yeah, and so what happens is children need an example of God in their life. Yeah, especially
early on.
Early on, absolutely. Yes, you're right. And they need an example of God in their lives, and so when you get their heart, they want to be like mama. They want to be like dad. They want to follow you. They want to please you. And you become like, in essence, remember in Exodus 7, God told Pharaoh or told Moses. He said, "I've made you like a god to Pharaoh." Now, that doesn't mean that Moses became a god, and it doesn't mean that, you know, God wanted Moses to be in a place where Pharaoh would worship him. It meant mm-hmm. that, you know, basically kind of like a mentor, a leader, an authority figure, one who had power over him, where Pharaoh was, every time he would try to resist Moses, he couldn't best Moses, you know what I mean? And then whenever Moses was around, he found himself wanting to be like Moses. You know, he was impressed by him. I mean, you see how his heart bends to Moses all the time. Then Moses leaves and his heart hardens.
That's true.
You know, yeah. and that's kind of what's going on. And so children need that same thing with the parents. And so when it comes to really having their heart, that's the key. The Bible says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. There in Proverbs, I think it's 26, 23 or 23, 26. I always get it backwards. And I ain't as sharp as I used to be. I can say that, and that's for sure. But my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And so you have to get it early on. And when you get it, because of that, they love dad. And you're like God to them in the sense that you have their heart, you have their affections, they want to be like you. And then as they grow, you can transfer the ownership of that to the Lord, where God becomes that person instead of you. And that's what I tried to do with y'all, and raising you guys up, and you know, each one of you guys. I mean, you two here, Levi. We just had these talks here not too long ago, wasn't even a few months back. Talked about the things I think God would like for you to do, and that kind of thing. And after we were having those talks, you were charged up. You're ready to go on missions trips and things like that. And Tyler, you remember those mm-hmm. those talks we've had. And see, that's part of me trying to transfer ownership to where God replaces me. Remember whenever John the Baptist said, when the Lord Jesus came on the scene, he must increase, I must decrease. And that's what dads do, or that's what moms do. So
sure.
So you're just preparing their heart for God to harvest?
Yeah, basically, that's a great way to say it. I appreciate that. That's a great way. Yeah, you sow the seed and you know, watered, and God's given the increase there. And so, yeah, I agree. But nevertheless, though, that's important. And, you know, and getting back to the original question there, too, also, you know, you got to make sure you yield an ownership. And I think that's where you want to start.
Sure.
And
my question, I don't know, maybe I should phrase it a little better, but my question isn't so much that point where yielding ownership, it isn't, you know, making sure they go to church and stuff like that. It's to me, like, I worry that, I don't really know how to say it, just I worry about the level of, like, demonic influence. Now, I understand that.
Oh, that, sure.
You know, anytime you're ever out in the world, anytime you're ever around anything, whether you're watching TV or listening to a song or just around somebody who's got a bad attitude, anything like that, there's demonic influence there. I know that there's demonic influence constantly.
Yeah.
What I worry about is I want to try to keep that to a minimum.
Protecting your children from demonic influence is like trying to protect them from the sun, you know? Yeah. Or like trying to keep boys away from dirt and sticks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And frogs, you know what I mean?
Well,
and
funny story about that real quick. I found a frog yesterday. I was mowing the grass. Gave it to Evan. He's on the deck, and Evan kept carrying around calling Mr. Frog and talking to it. And then finally, and the frog was, I think he died of a heart attack.
Probably.
He was sitting still the whole time.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, Evan, he's got to go home. So it's okay. So he throws it underhand up into the air off the deck. And it comes down, hits the cement.
Oh, poor thing.
And Evan just walks off. He's la la da. And here's the best part. I go over there, and I'm mowing the grass, and I'm holding the mower. My wife's looking at me like, oh, my gosh, did you just kill a frog? We're in that our son's channel, being a serial killer here soon. And I look over the frog, and I shake my head going, That thing's dead in the door now. And it, then it got hopped away. It crawled under the deck and died, I think. But,
you know, just, quite a fall. It stunned it quite a bit, I'm sure. Yeah, so
I can only imagine.
But, yeah, but, Evan's got plenty of emotion. He's not sociopathic.
Oh, no. That kid has got a bleeding heart. He cried for 3 hours the other day from watching Meet the Robinsons whenever the mom leaves her baby at the orphanage. He cried for 3 hours.
Yeah, he even cried whenever I told him I had a sunburn. He was like, his eyes were tearing up. He said, "You got a burn?" I said, "Yeah, it's just a sunburn." He said, "I'm sorry."
But my point is that I'm really scared about not so much demonic influence as much as, like, sometimes some of the things that he says and does, it worries me that I may be leaving a door open somewhere. How should I go about as a parent checking to make sure I have all the doors closed, or as many closed as possible? Like you said, there's no way you can always hem up every point, but how do I make sure I'm going about it right, or that my faith is really there?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that kind of come to my mind when you ask that question, and, you know, maybe it's something I probably should maybe even think on a little bit more before I'd even answer. But I guess one of the things that really occurs to me is, number one, is you're not going to be able to shut every door, in which you'd already kind of alluded to that.
Well, yeah, and I know I can't do that, but what I'm worried about is I want to make sure I'm closing as many doors as possible.
Right, right, and I agree with that. And you know, one of the things that, like I said, there are a few things come to mind, and one of the things that I think that you really want to watch is the Bible reminds us that a lot of times we get confused about whether or not we're in the Spirit, when we're not in the Spirit. And I talked about this church the other night. You know, I was studying on this thing, and the Bible tells us to examine our outer man. You know, trying to examine the inner man, you're going to get confused. Examine the outer man, and when you examine the outer man, you look at the fruit that the outer man's bearing, okay? And in the fruit that the outer man's bearing, the Bible talks about how we're known by their fruits and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's talking about lost people and talking about especially the wolves and that sort of thing there in Matthew. But anyway, though, but you look at the outer man and you look at the fruit the outer man's bearing, and it tells you kind of what, you know, listen, a farmer can go out in the field and tell you what's growing in his field just simply by looking at the crop. Mm-hmm. You know, he can go, all of them are beans, or all that's wheat, or that's corn, and or whatever. And he has an idea. He can tell you if it's a weed or not. And so in Christian world, you know, in the spiritual world, you can kind of look at your outer man and say, all right, what's going on? And then it tells you whether or not there's spiritual, what's really kind of ruling in the life of a person, whether it's a spiritual problem or spiritual, you know, the Lord's reigning in their life and they're walking with God. And so, you know, always be looking at the outer circumstances of a person, especially your children, and say, all right, you know, if these are results of a trial, or are these, you know, and look for the right kinds of fruit there, you know, and you're looking to see, you know, what are their, the way they treat people, the way that they, not so much whether or not their car breaks down. You see what I'm saying? The way, the kind of attitudes they display, you know, are they always in a crabby mood? Are they always, you know, they're always discouraged about something. They're always afraid, or they're always, you're looking at their attitudes, what's coming out of the heart of the issues in life, and the Bible says. And so that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for whether or not they're broke, or whether or not they've, you know, they've been evicted from their house or something, you know. And those things happen, but you're looking at the attitudes. You know what, God's in charge, he's got this, or, you know, what am I going to do, don't God care, doesn't he love me, that kind of thing. When you start to see things that you know are not spiritually, especially in attitudes, that's when you should be saying, all right, there's something wrong. And then you want to look and see where the devil might have got placed in that person's life, especially your children. But the other thing is, the other thought that comes to my mind is this, is the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it. And so you want to be working to where basically when the devil does come a knocking, so to speak, they're not changed by it. You know, they're not
affected as hard.
Yeah, not affected as much. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but I guess then my next question would be, what if the devil has gotten place in our life? How do you go about fixing that? Especially with a kid as young as Evan. He's 2 years old. He doesn't understand that kind of stuff. What do you do? You know, I mean, I understand like 8, 10, 12-year-olds, you can conversate and kind of reason. But the 2-year-old? You know what I mean?
Yeah, at 2 years old, that's not really a big concern for you as far as the enemy getting placed there. What your concern is just laying the right foundation. That's really the big thing for you. They say a child will learn half of what it knows by the time it's 4 years old. So right now, he's at half of the half, so to speak. You know, I know he's not, but I'm just saying, you know. At 2 years old, and what you want to do is you want to identify things that you can really make sure that he has a good understanding of, and make sure that he has a good a foundation in, you know, and that those things are really what's priority in his life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really do, and I appreciate you sharing that. What would you say to a person right now who's listening, if they have a young child or even an adult child who's moved out? What if a young child has taken away their heart from their parents and given it to something else, or like an adult child that's moved out? What should the parent go about doing, and what authority does a parent have if they don't have the heart of their child to correct them or help them grow? You know what I mean? Like, specifically, I'm thinking about Job. Let's get right out there with my illustration here. I'm thinking specifically about Job with his adult children who weren't living at home. He still was making sacrifices for them every day and understanding that he was ruled by fear. But what authority does a parent have whenever they're an adult child who's rebelled or even a teenager who's taken away their heart?
You mean taking away the heart, like the parents have lost the heart of the teenager?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I just wasn't sure what you meant. You know, whenever you're dealing with those kind of situations, again, you know, the principle of ownership is key here. You have to learn to give ownership over to God, and then you got to learn to live by faith, to believe God to bring them back. You know, at one prayer meeting where you connect to God and you and God converse on the matter, would change everything.
More effective than 10 years of
10 years of praying, you know, and it's not connected to God. Once you get connected to God, what that does is this, is now you have God's authority on the matter. God's told you in your heart, you know, you got a promise from the scripture or something to confirm it, but God is going to perform this thing. He's going to bring them back into the fold. He's going to restore this problem that's caused them to go astray in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's never hurts to, you know, then pray from a position of authority, taking authority over that person, saying, all right, you know, then God, you've commanded this, so Lord, I'm trusting you, I'm believing you to bring it to pass, and no devil can stop it or anything. You know, you want to take a position of authority. And it never hurts also to study up on the matter, why they're going astray. You know, if you can get them in to see a preacher and talk to somebody who's really biblically balanced and has a good understanding how to counsel scripturally.
Yeah.
And not just use the world's methods and, you know, change where it says, you know, flesh or self into God and, you know, things like that. But use God's methods. And then, you know, if you can get them in and see that. But like you said, if a child is, if their heart's gone and they don't want to return, now you're going to have to pray for that. And the other thing is like the prodigal son's father, a lot of times we want to chase them and follow them and do everything we can. Our attitude was this, we were stricter when you were at home, but we bend the rules where we needed to, or we tried to, you know, you didn't get spanked on every little thing you did. You know, we talked to you about some things and you continued to do something, then you got spanked, you know.
Gotcha.
You open up a window or open up a door or whatever, you know, we told you not to, then you get a problem. But if, you know, we talked to you about it, we didn't just go around trying to look for every little opportunity to punish. We really wanted just to learn. You know, that's really what we wanted to do. We didn't want to have to deal with everything else because, number one, that's hard on a parent. Number two, hard on a child. And number three, it's just a lot more time and effort out of your way. I mean, if you can learn it and just move on. But what we did is we wanted you guys to learn. So we were stricter in that. But we also, if ever you were to rebel and to leave the home or to disobey, to run away, to go off and, you know, start living in immorality or something of that nature, we would love you and we would be there for you, but we're not going to chase after your lifestyle. We're not going to be for your lifestyle. And the prodigal son's father, he doesn't go chasing after him, but he's out there waiting for him. And that's how, that was our attitude, that if that was ever going to happen, that's what we were going to do. And I liked what Brother Larry Brown used to always say, pray they get to the corn, or pray they get to the hog pit quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where they're eating the swine, or eating the husks of the swine and stuff like that. And so pray, you know, mom and dad, your kids are rebellious and they're rebelled and their heart's gone astray. Pray for them, but also pray they come to the, you know, come to themselves. Because it's whenever the prodigal son gets to the hog pit and he's living with the swine, he's eating the husks, and he goes, the Bible says he says to himself, or he talks to himself there or whatever, and he's like, man, I had it better at my father's house. Servants have it better there. I should just go home and be a servant for him. You know, I'd be a servant here, and this is miserable. I go there and be a servant, I'll have it a whole lot better. And whenever he came home, his dad was like, you're not here to be a servant, you're my son. And,
sure.
You know, you're once lost, but now you're found. And so that was always going to be our attitude, if ever that was the case. So far with four of your children, we've had a couple of times where we thought maybe that might happen, but, you know, we've not ever had that issue. And hopefully, Levi, before you move out, that does not become an issue. And so
Better not.
So, but anyway, so that's what we've always kind of done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So what you're saying is, just kind of sum it up, don't chase after them, but pray vehemently for them.
Right. That doesn't mean that you cut them off.
No, but yeah, leave the door open. But,
yeah.
I'm saying don't go out there and chase after them with a weeping heart.
And our rule was, you're going to be in our home, you can't do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you have to make a choice. You know, is this, it's either this sin or whatever, or, you know, or our home. You're not going to do both. You know, it's not going to be in our home.
Sure.
And the Bible talked about how Abraham commanded his household after him. And so you have to be the kind of that. Because otherwise what happens is it steals God's presence and blessing. It affects other people in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen this happen many a times in people in situations. It wears down the parents. The Bible talks about the foolishness of a child or a son is heaviness to his mother. It wears her down. Things like that.
Sure.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I guess we're kind of running out of time here. We're running just a little over. I just want to say thank you, Pastor, for coming in again. I know it's. I know you got a really busy schedule and a lot going on right now, especially with the bathroom remodel and stuff like that. So thank you for coming in.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Thanks, Levi, for coming in. I know, once again, with your work and everything. So.
It's okay. It's my pleasure.
Anyway, I just want to remind everybody here real quick, if you guys want to get a Water from the Rock podcast mug, if you want to get a t-shirt, reach out to us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Tyler Robbins, TylerRobbinz. Otherwise, our church one is at ByTheBlood1. Reach out to us through our website. That's bytheblood.org. You can email us at robbinsman25@gmail.com or fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com. Once
you can
again,
also reach out to me on my Twitter handle as well.
Sorry,
TimAmy21.
That's our pastor's
Twitter. Yep.
Yeah, that if you guys want to get in direct contact for counseling and stuff like that, that's going to be his direct line that you guys get to him at. Otherwise, our phone number at the church is 641-228-5362. And I actually had a question last week about donations. If you guys want to donate, you guys can donate through the website. Bytheblood.org.
And we're always monitoring our inputs and stuff.
Yeah. Otherwise, you can also donate by sending it to our physical address, which is 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa 50616.
Now, real quick here, though, before we close out, Tyler, I do want to say this, that the reason why a lot of times teenagers' hearts go astray is their soul gets tied to something, tied to the world. Think of a soul tie. Like an umbilical cord, okay? It's supposed to be that your soul ties to something that's good so that it puts good in and takes bad out. That's what the umbilical cord does for the baby, you know? And the baby, the mama will put good into the baby and then take the waste and that out. But what happens a lot of times is our soul ties to something else. Our mind and our emotions tie to something that maybe it's not good. Then what it does is it puts bad in and takes good out, and it changes the person. And so whenever you're dealing with those issues with rebelliousness and children and things like that, and teenagers, you got to pray that those soul ties get broken. And that's another topic for another conversation. And maybe we can do that again next week or something like that. But I'm just saying those are things that you got
to
be praying for that stuff.
Sure.
And you got to be specific in your prayers. And so does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
I didn't want to end interrupt your ending there, but I just
no. I appreciate you sharing any truth. I know that. I mean, I don't have a teenager in my house yet, but these are things that I'm going to need to hear and learn still.
Yeah.
When it comes time, and if anybody's out there listening who's dealing with that, it's definitely good for them.
Yeah, and absolutely, like I said, and raising children with Evan, you're going to be looking to see what his soul's tied to. You mm-hmm. know, Paul Patrol's one thing. You know, but you want him to be tied to the Lord first and foremost.
Yeah, I say death metal is a different thing.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying, though, just you want to be watching those things. What are their souls tied to?
Sure, so. Absolutely. anyway, kind of lost my place there on the ending there.
So.
Once again, thank you for tuning in. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. If you guys want to reach out to us, feel free to at any of those locations that I already listed. If you need help, if you need any kind of counseling or advice, if you just need somebody to talk to, feel free to reach out to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you guys want a mug, if you guys want a t-shirt, reach out to us. We're making them and giving away for free. We'll even ship them to you for free. Just ask. They're free. So, you know, to be honest with you, I've actually already given out a couple, and people who've got them have really liked them. So, once again, just reach out for one. I'll give you one. So, thanks again to you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you remember all these things, and it'll help you grow. Remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.